Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
That's a great Monday. Pump site geek, ready to get after it. Hope you had a great weekend. I did a whole lot of Olympic bashing. It's fine to watch the games. We have some terrific pictures from Rio. We have a sofa floating around today where they were competing. I'm very excited to bring you that story. Some Frank Caliendo on today's show about Brett Favre. Paula's with us today. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Come on in, Caitlin. So this is our intern, Caitlin. It's her final week. She made cookies today. Hey, and thank you.
You're welcome.
So she's doing her intern-esque. I don't degrade interns like donuts, but last night she sent me a note about today, and I said, we want an omelet bar. We want a barista. We want all sorts of stuff. She didn't deliver on any of it. Did she deliver on anything for you, Eric? Anything at all?
I got cookies, which is good. I like cookies.
You ever try to do a show with Cookie Mouth?
No, I don't do shows, so no.
Well, what is this? You're a bus driver here.
I'm the guy behind the guy behind the guy.
Get out of here. I mean, you're the guy that could tell me, no, we're not going to talk about this or that. You could. How much Olympics did you do over the weekend?
Oh, let's see. Watch quite a bit of the opening ceremonies on tape delay on Friday.
So, okay, are you going to bring up tape delay because you know that I'm fired up about that?
No. It's just Twitter can be your best friend and your worst enemy. And one thing I realized watching the opening ceremonies on Friday, some of these countries that are competing, I have no idea, number one, where they are. I can't spell them. They have like, here's country so-and-so. There's two Olympiads. And the country has like 640,000 people. The country.
But you know what's great about that is when you hear that they're training like over on a field and they have shoes that they got at a swap meet. You know, they have no backers. They have nothing.
It was
at
too
all.
Long. The whole opening ceremony was way too long.
So let's break this down. The ratings have been horrendous for the opening ceremony. Now, people that are pro NBC will say, "Oh, we had 29 million people that watched this." Yeah, it's off 16%. Okay.
I have a question before you keep going, because you're a TV guy.
Sure.
I was talking about this with my wife, too, on Friday. Yeah. Why don't they have the opening ceremony on a Sunday night? Why do they have it on a Friday, like the least watched television night of the week?
Because they will still get a really good number, in their opinion. Okay. Sunday night, they're going to stack the swimming and they're going to stack the gymnastics. I mean, the biggest parts of the Olympics for ratings, other than, Kerry Walsh, they stuck there on Saturday night because a little two-piece upper crack
of course.
With her name on it is going to draw guys that are going to sit there and oogle. And there's going to be girls that are going to say, man, I wish I had a body like that. Okay. So each of the sports have their own reason why they're being shown. And when you're putting a show together, like I think the couch... Eric and I had a little disagreement before the show today. I think the couch where they had the kayaking washing up on shore is the best visual piece that we have today. Okay. That is just awesome. That's where they had the kayaking, right?
I've been to Rio, and things like that are very common. Like, people watch the Olympics and are like, ooh, Rio, wow, it's so scenic and beautiful. Yeah, there's like five or six really nice parts, and then like 25 or 30 really, really bad parts. It's a third world country. Like, let's not kid ourselves.
Right. So I think this is the best part. So, but if I said, Eric, let's use that twice. And he said, I don't think our audience resets that often. Well, I don't know, but I still really like that piece of video, that little image there. And so what did NBC do last night at 6 o'clock? They led with synchronized diving. Did you sit through the synchronized diving last night?
No, I didn't watch. I didn't watch much last night.
And we didn't either.
I watched the NFL.
Oh, yeah. That was funny. We're going to get over to the NFL stuff. But the whole point of NBC's deal, and I've got some quotes here today. There's stuff. I mean, I'm not happy with team basketball. Jerry actually said something I just don't agree with. I just don't agree with what Jerry Colangelo had to say. I'm going to get into that a little bit later on in the show. They showed synchronized diving last night, and Ted Robinson did the play-by-play, and I like Ted a lot. He's a really good broadcaster and a good guy. I don't think you lead a show with something as weak as that, because you know that in 4 hours at like 10 in the 10 o'clock hour, you're going to stick Phelps in there. You're going to stick Ledecky in there. You're going to stick the little gymnasts in there. And you're going to say to everybody, see, we know what we're doing. We have a big number. Well, no, because I have the app, which is what you guys at NBC want. At the end of the day, you want the click. So I'm one of those that says, I'm not going to waste my time and sit here for 4 hours. I'm just going to go over to the app or on social media. I'm going to see. I think it's brilliant what Good Morning America is doing. Good Morning America was posting results and doing spoiler alerts. It's smart. Why sit there on a 4 hour tape delay and expect people? I'm guessing that the Cardinals-Patriots game should be on a 4 hour tape delay if I'm to go by the theory of what NBC Sports is doing here. Because it's a live sporting event. And when Michael Phelps races at 8 o'clock on the East Coast, which is 5 o'clock out here, they could simply just, I don't know, show it and then replay it. But when I have Bob Costas say, we're going to take you live now over to swimming, and I have to say, no, that was 4 hours ago because you're just placating the East Coast audience. This is clearly an East Coast thing with me. I'm sitting with my wife and she says, why are you so wound up about this? Because it's disingenuous to people here in Arizona and on the West Coast. It's only a 4 hour time difference. You could show everything at night live. I will give Mark Curtis a lot of credit last night. I sat through their show and he did mention, we're going to bring you the highlights from earlier today coming up tonight in primetime on NBC. When you don't see live in the corner, okay, when you don't see live, and for some of you, this may be a whole bunch of about nothing, but in this day and age of Twitter and social media and when your ratings are taking a beating, and I'll say this too on the ratings part, we haven't seen the digital component yet. We haven't seen, so today the opening ceremonies were just awful, 16% down. They crammed more commercials in there because it's on tape delay. I mean, Eric, that's the answer to your question. Why was it so long it took forever? Because in real time, it probably took 2 hours. But in NBC time, they crammed every 6 minutes in there. And it's coming up, the USA team coming up. In the meantime, I'm already tweeting pictures of Phelps from 3 hours earlier doing the ceremony. I guess you want to do the Rose Parade and put it on tape delay just to fit certain parts of the country. If that's how you're approaching the Olympic Games in 2016, that you're going to sit there and say, we don't want to pretend that this already happened because we're just looking for the biggest audience rather than serving the public. So tape delay the freaking Cardinals-Patriots game under the same way that you're doing this.
And people are going to see it early anyway. I mean, yes. Everyone has a smartphone. People have Twitter handles. They can go on.
No, but when you're
they
sitting,
can stream it. There's so many different ways. I mean, I understand why they want to get the eyeballs and maybe some people don't realize that or don't care that it's on a tape delay basis, especially for something like the opening ceremony. But
tape delay the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me know how that goes.
Okay. Am I right on that? This is NBC. They have Sunday night football. They have Thursday night football. So here's to the point of it. This is going to give you an idea, Eric, of what we're dealing with here at NBC. Okay. So Sally Jenkins, who's one of the best writers, best columnists around, in my opinion, with the Washington Post. She did a huge column. I reposted it on my Facebook page if you want to read it from start to finish. And it's about what a train wreck NBC has been so far in these Olympics. So their chief marketing officer, John Miller, said, quote, "The people who watch the Olympics are not particularly sports fans. More women watch than men. Women are less interested in the result, and they're more interested in the journey. It's the ultimate reality show and miniseries wrapped into one. Thus, Mr. Miller, you get the lowest ratings since 1992, with Michael Phelps, by the way, and 19 gold medals, and Katie Ledecky. How's that working out for you?" Unbelievable. I mean, we're in 2016. If you can't accept that people want stuff instantaneously, okay, then you're probably not in the right business, other than we got to placate advertisers and spend and make sure that Kellogg's gets the highest ratings point at 10:25 at night. I get it. Why don't you be a little bit more forthright? For those of you watching on tape delay, and it's like the Today Show. They'll do the Today Show live and they'll just stick it up there. And if news breaks, they'll jump back in. Just be honest with people that this is the West Coast edition, rather than just caring what happens in New York City. When I have to hear Hoda on the opening ceremonies, oh, there's Mello. Oh, Carmelo's there. I just want to puke all over my shoes. Like, Matt Lauer's probably sitting there saying, I've done eight of these and I got Hoda here tonight. And they're reading off all this stuff about what's wrong with each country, which I loved. When the Tongan guy came in all oiled up, how great was that? How awesome was that? That's what we want to see.
Much greater than whoever that guy was that lit the torch.
On the torch thing, just okay, like, so Pele was...
Who are you?
Pele was sick, so they said, Eric, get up there. Jared, get over there.
Exactly.
We got somebody. Somebody's got to do the torch here. Somebody
like they lit the torch, and I'm like, I can't say this guy's name. I've never heard of this person. I'm sure in Brazil he's quite popular, maybe even famous. I got nothing
on that.
Giselle, she couldn't just stick around a little longer and just light the torch?
Giselle, how many times did they go back to the cutaway of Giselle bouncing with her?
Totally fine.
It was great TV.
Highlight of the opening ceremonies.
I would have done it myself. Take that camera. This is called Breast Cam with Giselle. This is what we want to see on Friday night, because nobody else is watching these countries that nobody knows where they're from.
It just got fatiguing after a while.
After like, a while?
We're waiting for Estados Unidos, and we're waiting. And like you said, NBC keeps teasing, and one more commercial break, and two more commercial breaks, and finally... And then Matt Lauer's like, they're going to have a dramatic pause. They do that before some of the big countries are announced. The buildup. How nice of the Olympic Games
to do it. And what they'll say is, yeah, but you suckers sat around and watched it. No, I was on social media, and I went back and watched it later on my own time. There's a difference. There's some stuff with USA Basketball I'm not happy about. I'm going to get to a little bit later on in the show. Up next, though, there's a ton of football. So the Cardinals decide Friday afternoon... After Fitz has already met with the media, to announce that, unless Fitz just walked out of the media session and said, hey, Steve, come here. Fitz is going to be around. So is Carson. In the Hall of Fame game, the NFL can't get their own preseason opener right. And ASU, they got to do something here with Camp Tonizona. This whole thing about how great it is. No, we'll get to that on the other side, too. Fired up on a Monday, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports, Paula Belvin in 10 minutes. So sometimes shows take just a brutal turn. Some news that is just breaking out of Tucson that Zach Amelia, who played football, he's a center for the U of A football team, played over at Chandler High. He passed away overnight. This is just coming down. It's very, very raw. We don't know any of the details other than he passed away overnight. Erica, are you seeing some things on Twitter that I am not seeing?
No, I just saw it. Literally, we were going into the last commercial break, and I saw that the former Chandler Wolf had passed away. And just hard to describe the emotions down in Tucson.
Sure.
And around college football. A lot of national people are tweeting about this now, so it's a tough situation.
So he was a Chandler High grad. He passed away in his sleep. Senior offensive lineman was found dead this morning. This is some video just a short time ago in Tucson. Rich Rod and Greg Byrne. This is very raw, so they just spoke just moments ago. This was in Tucson just a few minutes ago.
It's all on my mind right now. It's with Zach Hill and his family. Lost a great young man. Everybody in my program is hurting. Talking to his dad just a little bit ago. They've been down here for the last couple of days. I don't know any of the details. Last I saw him last night after a meeting, talked. Two nights ago. So the blue just came down, sat beside him, talked about 45 minutes. About everything. Happy he was. I appreciate it. Nobody, no speculation. So he's a great young man.
He passed away in his sleep last night. We were notified this morning, and just notified the team. Coach told him, and we'll have grief counselors here from campus to support the team, the coaches, and staff, and everybody. They got to be around Zach. His coach said he's a great young man, and we're just so deeply saddened, and our deepest thoughts and prayers and go out to his family and friends and the team, his teammates, and the coaches and everybody involved. He's a Chandler kid, local kid.
Okay, so that just happened a short time ago down in Tucson, and his coach, Sean Aguano, over at Chandler High School. So a kid right here in our own backyard who stayed here in our own backyard by going to the U of A, and one of their offensive linemen, Zach Amelia, passing away. And we'll have more on that as the show and on the site today, too, as it progresses. I'm just getting texts right now on this. And so we're working on it. That's just awful. Grief counselors with a football team less than 3 weeks before their first game. So just terrible, tragic news down at the U of A today. And there's no other way to put it. There's no easy way to transition from that, but that is what is breaking. From there, so the Cardinals extended Carson and they extended Fitz. This came out Friday afternoon. They'd already had their media availability, so we have not heard yet from the two of them. What I find interesting about this move by the organization is more about Carson than it is for Fitz. I've been one that has said they have to develop somebody eventually. And I think what this shows even more is that last December and January that Carson was hurt, and his injury was much worse than what they ever said, what they ever let on, which is how it works in sports. They're going to try to keep things private. They're going to try to skirt around just how severe an injury is. Nobody wants to admit to that. They have to just be saying that the only reason that Carson was not himself at the end of last season in the playoffs, and he had such a poor showing against Carolina, was because he was hurt. That's got to be the only reason, because as camp is now underway, and look, this probably was figured out, I don't know, in the offseason at some point in time. Teams have all sorts of stories that they sit on and have stacked, so they just release them as they go to keep themselves in the news cycle and get the front pages. And this is, it's PR 101. It's stuff that all organizations do. I have to believe that is what happened here, because I haven't heard from Carson or Fitz yet. I think that the idea that Larry just decided Friday morning and walked in and says, yeah, I think I'm going to keep playing. That's not how it goes. So I have no problem with either move, because I have to trust the moves that Steve Keim has made. He has yet to really, if you look at the moves that he's made, and all GMs make mistakes, all of them. There are no perfect GMs. Jonathan Cooper being spun around for Chandler Jones, that would be one of the more amazing saves, because Jonathan Cooper was not very good at all. He was a miss. But if Chandler Jones comes here, signs, plays as well as he's played, then Steve Keim turned that into a brilliant decision. I mean, it's easy to look at the Matthew. So I have to trust that what he is seeing, what Steve is seeing out of Carson in particular. I'm not worried about Larry. I'm really not. But for the organization to commit to another year with a quarterback, and of course it all comes back to What do these contracts look like? What does the structure look like? What does the guaranteed dollar look like? The guaranteed dollar is the dollar that we look at, not everything else. So that happened over the weekend. The Hall of Fame game was canceled. I just wish that same crew that painted the field could paint the Cardinals field for the next 5 weeks. I do. I wish they could paint all fields around preseason games. Let this same group of guys that couldn't figure out that when the paint dries and balls up on turf, let them go paint every field and let's cancel every last one of these jokes where players get hurt. I mean, even if they played the game last night, is it just me sitting out here? Do any of you that are Packer fans care that Aaron wasn't going to play and Brett Hundley wasn't going to play? I mean, come on. You're going to put down money to go support your team for guys that aren't going to even make the team or play very little. They'd already ruled Aaron and Hundley out. What is the point? Well, it's football, and you got to put yourself in the fans' position. No, save your money for when it really matters. Like, preseason means so much to the Los Angeles Rams that next Saturday night, this coming Saturday night, when they have their preseason opener, they're starting Case Keenum. Go get him, Case. They're not starting Jared Goff. I don't know if Jared Goff's going to get in for us. I'm certain with TV being what it is, and it's going to be blown up. It's Cowboys-Rams on national TV. And at some point, they're going to bring Jared Goff in to get him out there and roll him out. There's the field. Yeah, that's what happened yesterday. I went over to work out and walked in to where I work out, and there was no Olympics on. None of the TVs had the Olympics on. There's 16 TVs, I counted. Like, every third one had this stuff on. Guys trying to clean a field off, and preseason game is canceled, and, you know, you just kind of laugh about it and say, really, you guys can't even figure that out? How to get a field together? That's stunning to me that a league that proclaims itself the most powerful in our country, it wasn't like an ice melting situation that we've seen or a condensation issue. It's they couldn't figure out the field. And then the players have said, these fields are always bad. And, you know, breaking news, there's no preseason. Some people are putting on social media, it's really a crime to the guys that are trying to fight for that roster position. It's one less game. It's 4 weeks now. It's 4 games that they're going to have. No, it's a crime to put the players out there in harm's way for a fifth game that doesn't mean anything. That's the story here. That's the story here. So, I mean, I hope that this leads to more of the players' union standing up saying, we're not going to play these games. We are not going to go do this. Eric Winston was pleased with the result last night. You know that we don't need this stuff in August. We just don't. We're going to look back 20, 30 years. When the players union finally stands up, we're going to look back on these. Do you know these guys used to play a bunch of games that didn't mean anything and didn't matter? It's crazy. Paula Bovin is next. It's just a tough, tough day. U of A local boy from Chandler High School passes away. One of the starters in the offensive front for the U of A. We'll talk with Paula and try to navigate that segment next. Time now for Paula Bovin, our weekly segment. Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Obviously, the breaking news just within the last 15 to 20 minutes, there's no words really to put into the story. Zach Hamilia, who played at Chandler High, offensive lineman for the U of A, was found dead this morning, passed away in his sleep overnight. We just played a clip from Rich Rod and Greg Byrne where they were both extremely emotional. I know this is just something that's come down. Have you heard anything on your end from Tucson on this?
No, a friend of mine from Tucson had texted me about half an hour ago about it, and I was just watching the video as you called and of Rich Rod and Greg Byrd standing there talking, and the emotion, it's just crushing because it's somebody young and just somebody that they're that close to that's so young that died in his sleep. It's just such a tragic story, and I know a priority will be to find out what happened because there are so many concerns these days related either to football or was it an illness or was it something else. I mean, I know they're going to try to find answers soon, but I'm just really sad. I'm so sad for that family. the way I've been hearing people talk about him, he sounded like a great guy. And it's just a tragic story.
Eric just spoke with Sean Iguana, the coach over at Chandler High, and Sean was talking to the parents on the other line. So that's obviously not the right time, but
right.
We'll see how this goes. I'm going to delicately then, and I don't mean in any disrespect, move the conversation. Let's stay with college. So Arizona State cancels Camp T to come back here. And I know that the easy call on this is, well, it was just the weather. But every year they have to up and move to Rumsey Park. Every year we hear about the field not being in great shape. And every year we hear about, well, we need millions of dollars to refurbish this. It's great to sit around a campfire, but Todd Graham is here to win football games. And when you don't have a normal routine, does there come a point, Paula, with tradition where you say, let's do this in spring ball. We're not going to have monsoons. We can still accomplish it for the good of the program, that ASU and Ray Anderson has to look at this closer and say, why do we keep doing this?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot, Brad. It's a tough one. I mean, I think the fall is, or, you know, late summer is really when you have to do it, because you've got all your players that are going to be on that team together. You're nearing the start of season when I think that sort of, you know, unity, those bonds are really, really important. I would not be a fan of moving it to the spring. I think they've just got to figure out a way to improve things there, whether it's, you know, I don't know what. I don't know how to improve it, if there's something they can do with the field, if, you know, certain conditions can get better. I think they just have to figure out a way to make it work, because I think it's an important tradition, not just because it's a tradition, but it's because of what it does, I think, for players. I think it's really good to get them away from the environment here. And I know a lot of schools don't do that anymore, but I think there's great value in it. And when you look at ASU last season and you look at what seemed like, you know, fairly or not leadership issues, even though they had some really strong leaders, for whatever reason, it seemed like that got to be a little bit of an issue because of the way they were playing. I think it's an important tradition. So I don't know if it's coming up with more money to make things work or what. I know you can't control the weather, but I'm a big fan of Camp Tonizona.
Well, and I look at it and say this is all about money, and Ray is sitting there trying to get more donations to get the stadium fixed. So the last thing he needs is, hey, you know, up at Camp T, we really need you, because I've heard this, we need to raise more money for Camp T narrative for years. And,
right.
And there comes a point where, you know, really show me, quantify how being there is going to make you a better football team. I get it. An inner city kid that's never been to the woods, and you go down to Tillman Rock and you tell all those stories, but you just can't have the interruptions that they have every year up there. It's got, I'm sure,
you're right. I mean, there's got to be a solution. I definitely get that. And in these days, when the stakes are so high, when the salaries are so big and coaches are fired, you can't waste a minute anymore. And no one hates wasting time more than Todd Graham. I mean, that was the thing I noticed when he first took over the program, how efficient those practices were. And so I'm sure this is driving him nuts. And it was probably, I went up there the other day and I thought he was short fused, which I don't usually see with him with media. And I'm sure that was probably part of the reason.
Yeah. Talking with Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Carson and Larry get extended. Is this all about then that Carson was really hurt last year at the end of the year? Because we've not heard from he and Fitz. And the Cardinals said, well, he's still great. And so we're going to extend him. Does this surprise you, in particular with Carson?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is a new era of pro football. Guys are playing, you know, quarterbacks into their 40s sometimes. I think they just feel like he still has stuff left in the tank. And I think it's a good, you know, for fans, I think it's a great thing. But I think more, this is about them really, really believing that they're going to have this guy available. And even guys with surgeries, I mean, they're coming back. You know, like, you look at what they did with Tyrann Mathieu. Give a guy like that much money with all the surgeries he's had. I just believe now, in this day and age of medical improvements, of longevity with players, that he's going to be playing for a while. You know, I mean, they kind of look at Kurt Warner, guys like that, who are able to extend their careers. So that was my take from it.
The Olympic Games. opening ceremonies, how they've been so far, anything. I'm annoyed on my own little planet with tape delay and some of the there hasn't been very much cheerleading, which has been good. I actually had a couple of interview podcasts with Rowdy Gaines and Otto Bolden I'd heard where they have been told by NBC, no, we or us. Do not say we or us. So I'm very pleased to see that and hear that. What is your takeaway from 3 days after the games?
You know, I know there was a lot of criticism of the opening ceremonies, and I will be honest, I only saw fragments of it, but I know when I was at least watching the opening ceremonies, I thought the commentary almost put me to sleep. I just was sort of disappointed in those very, you know, usually talented hosts. I don't know what happened there. That was a bit odd. But I've been enjoying, I mean, the games. Certainly the swimming has been a highlight. The gymnastics, to a certain extent, has been entertaining. So, I've been fine, and I love being able to find just about anything I want on my TV now. I don't know if this is a DirecTV or just everybody has this access, but it is hard. It is not hard to find an event, and I know in the past that's been a bit of a frustrating issue. So I love how they've extended it to so many channels, and have had specialty channels with things like soccer and basketball.
Yeah, well, I was watching water polo this morning because my son is a water polo kid. So we sat there and we watched the USA water polo from start to finish.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, about every 6 minutes, they insert a couple commercials and promos. That's just how they've got to make ends meet on this.
Right.
I did think it was interesting, though. Did you read Sally Jenkins over the weekend? I posted it on Facebook.
No. What was her column?
So you might want to check it out on your own. It's she had a quote from the NBC chief marketing officer, who said, quote, the people who watch the Olympics are not particularly sports fans. More women watch than men. Women are less interested in the result and more interested in the journey. It's the ultimate reality show and miniseries wrapped into one. And she just teed off on him, which she should, when you say that women aren't that interested in sports. I mean, come on. We're in 2016.
Yeah, exactly. I did see those comments, and I didn't realize that was from her column. I will tell you, I mean, it is just indicative of a much larger problem. I mean, we saw that whole thing that happened with the, you know, let's teach women football at
Texas A&M.
Where was it?
Texas A&M.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was so derogatory and so offensive. And it just tells you that there are people who don't think that it has changed. And I know that the NBC thing was far less sort of significant in that regard, but it's time to stop assuming that women don't love sports for sports. I mean, you know, we've got to pass that thing now, and we just haven't. I mean, it's remarkable. And I know there are women. I know I have friends who like the stories, and I get that, but it does absolutely no good to make garbage blanket statements like that, because there are so many more who are results oriented now. And the only reason it hasn't been that way, it's not because women are more emotional and that, you know, we like the stories more than the X's and O's. It's because of an environment. We were brought up and sort of taught that was important to us. We weren't supposed to like basketball, and we weren't supposed to, you know, understand the pick and roll and things like that. So it just does no good in my mind for an executive to make that kind of statement.
Okay, what about Jerry Colangelo's line? Our athletes are most recognizable in the world. That is why they're staying on the Silver Cloud cruise ship. I don't know. Michael Phelps and Novak Djokovic and the women's gymnastics team are all staying in the village. Does it send the wrong message for the USA men's and women's basketball team at the Olympics? And this is not the first time. I think this is the fourth straight Olympics where they've been docked at a cruise ship and they're not hanging out with the rest of their team. Do you agree with Jerry? Because I don't, quite frankly.
No, I'm with you, Brad, on this one. I mean, I think I understand that they're the most recognized, and I understand people will be asking them for autographs. But, you know, I mean, I think they can suck it up for a couple weeks and stay in the Olympic Village. And, you know, they don't have to be there the whole time. I mean, they can just get there to sleep and then wake up and then do whatever they want to do and eat better meals and all that stuff. But I would like to see them there. I mean, how fun would it be to see some of those guys hanging around with the, you know, Chinese table tennis champion or the the Russian gold medal gymnast or whatever. I think it would be great for all parties involved. I know a lot of people disagree with that, but I just wish there was some way, if not them fully staying there, to be more part of that experience. Maybe there's a happy medium somewhere.
Well, and Mark Cuban and Jerry have disagreed on this fully, and I'm anticipating at some point Mark Cuban's going to surface with some pretty strong comments directed about this whole Olympic movement, because other parts of the world, you know, Andrew Bogut, Manu Ginobili, they're hanging out in the village. You know, Bogut's making shower curtains and sleeping on bad beds by his Instagram.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, he's having fun with this. But I think the overriding question on this is, for basketball, how good is too good? They ended up, the women ended up winning today by 50 again today. They won by, 60 or 57, 65 they won over Senegal. Poor Senegal showed up. And what's the point here? How good is too good?
But there aren't many options. That's the problem, Brad. You have two options. You either keep it that pros can play, or you go back to collegiate. And it really isn't then the best versus the best. And, you know, sorry that we're really good in basketball, but, you know, other countries are good at other sports, and it's just kind of the way it is. That part doesn't bother me as much.
Okay, and before we go here, the Russian doping scandal. So some of these guys and girls that were doping are being allowed to compete. Is the Olympics teetering? Because every year we talk about dope, or every 4 years, doping comes up. But are the Olympics teetering on this to the point now where every time you watch something take place, I think Phelps and Bob Bowman were actually quoted last week about they don't think there's nearly been enough done on doping, and that there's always going to be questions around the sport, and it's ruining the games. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I don't think it's ruining the game, but I think the IOC has been such a disaster in this regard of consistency, of having the right people involved in the testing, of doing it the right way, that it's very frustrating. And I mean, I can't remember which female U.S. swimmer last night dropped a comment about someone she competed against had been cheating, you know? So it's such a prevalent storyline. But the bottom line is, it's on the IOC to do it better. It's hurting the games, and it's disappointing, but I think it's just all on the IOC to clean up their act. And we've known, you know, at least recently, that's not been the course of action for them. They just haven't. So that part's disappointing to me.
Phelps wins his 19th gold. Do you put him in conversation of Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, Wayne Gretzky as greatest athlete ever?
Yeah. I mean,
Is swimming a sport, some will say, on this one?
And that's ridiculous. Of course it's a sport. Anyone who's seen how much swimmers train, I mean, come on. The reality is I don't care about it as much as I care about basketball.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to throw his name in there. But if you talk about someone who has just been so dominant at what he does, and it has been so fun this year to have a front row seat in sort of his maturity, you know, from Phelps's going to rehab here in Arizona to being part of the ASU environment and curtain of distraction and just listening to his quotes. I mean, he's an entirely different guy. So, I know I'm going off on a little tangent
That's
here.
Fine.
But to me, I mean, he's been such a great story and has been so dominant. I don't know how you can't include him in that conversation.
I love it when you go on tangents. You know that.
Okay, good.
Stay well. I didn't bring up the baseball team because they stink. And we'll talk next week. Thanks.
Sounds good, Brad.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Good stuff there. On the other side, we still have more from the Olympics that just, you can't script this stuff. And a few other things that are on my mind from the weekend, too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Right, a few other things before we get out of here. So pollutants may not be the only thing that are in the waters at Rio. We've heard all about the sludge and the fecal matter and all that stuff. And I was actually watching some of the kayaking over the weekend and thought, boy, I really hope that they don't take water on, because that'd just be nasty. Well, this is a picture from a Sky News reporter that an Olympic kayaker on a practice run capsized after hitting a sofa. Okay. The Olympic organizers are investigating. A submerged sofa is what they have in Gunnabara Bay, and all the trash and furniture that are in the water, the literal crap that's in there too. So that caught my eye. This is what they're facing down there. I don't think, you know, NBC has not done a bad job. I've seen some. Have you seen any of the pieces about what's going on down there yet?
I have not.
Negative side?
I have not.
Costas did a nice, they got caught with their pants down on Saturday night. They thought that an Olympic beach volleyball match was finished. And they, and Costas took it back in the studio and he tossed to a Tom Brokaw piece. And like 15 seconds into the Brokaw piece, they dove out of it to say, oh, wait, there's been a change. There's been a ruling. So we got to finish this volleyball match.
That stuff happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
it was fine.
It's fine.
It was fine.
Stuff happens from time to time. So,
but I think that, that so far, I haven't seen the floating sofa making it out there. But I think that some of the stories that they've done, I can't give you specific examples. I have heard enough about there's been some concerns down there with the way of security. And I think it was actually with Costas and Brokaw they addressed all of it on Saturday night. This is Frank Caliendo now, because the other big story of the weekend, I thought the best story of the weekend out of everything, was Brett Favre. Brett Favre goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. A lot of those speeches can run long and can be all over the place. And his had a little bit on that. He talked about how he's slapping asses and guys got all excited to hear him say the word ass. And that was part of his speech. And it was so football-ish, and that's fine. But of course, Frank Caliendo, Valley resident, is so good with his John Madden impersonation. And this is John Madden talking to Brett Favre.
If you could only have one guy, just one guy, that you put in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I don't know why that would be. Maybe because there's a small Hall of Fame and there's a fire inspector that says you can only have one guy that can go in that Hall of Fame. That guy, I mean, that guy's going to be Brett Favre. Could do things on the field that nobody else could do. I mean, he could do things most people couldn't even imagine doing. But as amazing as Brett Favre the player was, let me tell you about Brett Favre the man. Back in 2004, we're talking to Brett Favre at Lambeau Field, and we're, you know, just having a normal interview, and a squirrel came running across the field, and I guess it tripped and injured itself. I wasn't really paying attention to the squirrel. But Brett Favre, in the middle of the interview, saw the squirrel trip. And Brett looks at the squirrel and says, oh, no, that squirrel is limping. I mean, I didn't even know a squirrel could limp. So Brett Favre runs over and helps that little guy. Brett Favre made that squirrel a little cast. And then he made a little squirrel crutches. I mean who makes a squirrel crutches? I'll tell you who does. Brett Favre does it. And most people would have sent that squirrel on its way, but Brett Favre was worried that squirrel wouldn't get away. Maybe he's being chased by a predator or a bigger squirrel that wanted whatever that squirrel had gathered. So Brett Favre taught that squirrel karate. And I said to Brett, I didn't know you knew karate.
That's good. That's really good. That was from the weekend, too. One little note. We're going to have Pedro on with us later this week. Just so you're clear on this, Pedro last Wednesday was with us, Pedro Gomez, and said he was flying to New York because A-Rod was going to walk away. Pedro is like 5 days ahead of the story, so I look forward to talking to Pedro this week. Chris Dufresne is going to be with us tomorrow. Chris is one of the most respected college football writers in the country, and he walked away from the LA Times to do kind of what we're doing. And he's opened his own platform with a group of very talented college football writers, so some good content on that front. We'll have Chris Dufresne with us. Also, Lincoln Kennedy this week, because the Cardinals have their first preseason game against the Raiders on Friday night, and Lincoln, of course, is the Raiders color analyst. So we'll go through all that this week on the show. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central. Do you think we should do it, Eric? All right. Yeah, no, just, you know what? Let's dive out of this. Go ahead and see if you can get him. Dive out of it, Jared. I'll just stick with it for a little bit. Just kill the music. We'll stick with this. So, you know, the way we do this show is when there's stories that break, and we've had an awful, awful story, tragic story today at the U of A. Zach Camellia passed away, starting offensive lineman, passed away in his sleep at the age of 22. And he was found deceased this morning. It's from Rich Rodriguez who announced it. And the senior projected to be the Wildcats starting center this season, passed away in his sleep. No other details have been released as we speak right now. We know that one of Familia's cousins did find him. Rodriguez informed the Wildcats after their practice Monday morning. We just a short time ago had a clip from Rich Rodriguez and Greg Byrne down in Tucson. So Rich Rodriguez and Greg Byrne were very, very emotional, very tearful, and rightly so. And this just hit us between the shoulder blades too, because Zach Camellia was a player that we had covered and that the Valley sports fans, high school football fans, had seen go to the U of A, which was great. And of course, over at Chandler High School, where Sean Aguano is their head coach, and the head coach of the Chandler Wolves joins us live here for a couple of moments now, sports360az.com. I know that this is raw and this is very emotional, and I appreciate you coming on board, Coach. What can you say about this morning and how you found out, and if you've informed your team and just the overall emotions?
You know, I just I got a call probably about 9 o'clock this morning from one of my former players. And so I called Coach Rago down at U of A, and they were just coming off the field and found out that way. And then just recently talked with Zach's dad. So it's been a tough morning.
It's what can you put into words about Zach Camellia right now, Sean?
You know, Zach played a huge part of our Chandler football family, and he was a very good kid, and I enjoyed being around him. You know, he played lacrosse also. Like all other teenagers, he had his shortcomings, but I loved his smile and his quirkiness. His parents are huge supporters of our team, and I just feel incredibly horrible for them. I am hurting right now because a piece of our family is gone, and one of my babies passed away too early. So I know his teammates and family are hurting, but he's in a good place right now, and so we just want to keep him in our prayers.
Have you talked to your team about it yet, Sean?
I have not. I've had probably over a dozen of his former players of mine that was on his team at Chandler, call me this morning, and it's not a good day. I mean, it's a sad day right now, and so we're just trying to get through this day and hopefully help his family out as much as possible.
How much support have you gotten in the last hour and a half from coaches around the state?
You know, it's been, my phone has been blowing up, and I appreciate coaches from opponent schools and former coaches that were with me, and even college coaches. And so I appreciate everything from them. I know it's going to be a tough couple of days, especially when I talk with their family that is just heading down to Tucson right now. And so as much as I can find out and let them know what's going on, but it's been a tough day.
I'll let you go off that, Sean. I appreciate your time. Hang in there. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Sean Aguano, head coach over at Chandler High School, on a just awful day, awful, awful, awful day in the Valley sports scene. Arizona offensive lineman Zach Camellia at Chandler High School went to the U of A, found deceased this morning, and he was 22 years of age. We'll see you tomorrow.